buddy.
Hi, guys. Well, from Salt Lake City, Utah,
it's Thank God I'm Atheist,
the podcast.
I'm Frank Feldman.
And I'm Dan Beecher.
And coming up today, well, it's been 6 years, Dan.
Yeah, this is our anniversary-ish, sort of.
It's 6 years.
Yeah, it's been
6 years.
We've done 6 years of this crap. So we're going to be discussing what we've gone through in those 6 years.
Learned.
Yeah. We're going to talk about us a little bit.
Our regrets and grievances.
The errands of grievances will be, and it's mostly about you, listeners. We have grievances about you. Stay tuned because we might mention you by name.
With all your listening.
All your paying attention.
Why are you listening?
And supporting and being sweet and awesome and stuff. Ha! We'll take you down a peg.
Anyway, before that, we got to do our first half of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Dan.
Yes, sir.
The Vatican.
I've heard of that.
They run a duty-free shop.
Okay.
As you would. You're a sovereign nation.
Heck yeah.
Why not, right?
If you live in Rome, do you always just go to the Vatican so that you can get cheap booze and cheap cologne or whatever you get duty-free?
Cheap cigarettes.
Oh.
This is a story of cigarettes,
Oh,
Dan.
Okay.
And the fact that the Pope, or I guess I should say the Vatican,
the Holy See,
has issued a statement that they will no longer be selling cigarettes at their duty-free shop.
Oh.
Which used to bring in roughly $10 million a year.
Holy shit!
I'm sorry, 10 million euro.
Holy.
That'd be $11 million a year.
Damn.
Yeah.
They are losing. I mean, Italians like their smoking.
Yeah. But the Pope says, the official statement said, the Holy See cannot contribute to an activity that clearly damages the health of people.
Huh.
So there's that. I applaud this move, actually.
Yeah. It's.
But they are giving up a major source of revenue.
Yeah.
They're
going to replace it with cocaine.
Another major source of revenue for the Vatican City State is tax-free gas sales.
Oh.
So people are able to pop over to the Vatican gas station.
Oh, that one's
and get tax-free gas.
Hey, if you're in the neighborhood.
So you might as well. But here's the deal. They just gave up on cigarettes. What about, electric vehicles are coming in strong, folks. They're about to lose out on two major sources of revenue.
They're going to have supercharging stations all around the wall.
Yeah.
The Vatican wall.
You can just drive past and it'll
meow, 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 meow.
Charge up.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah.
That's the sound that charging an electric car makes, right?
Yeah.
Meow, 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 meow. And then you're charged and then you can go.
I don't think that's true, Dan.
I think Tesla needs to work on a signature sound for charging.
Yeah.
Just something nice and soothing.
Does it not currently have a sound?
Not that I'm aware of.
Do like a little sing-songy bling, bling, bling. Bling, 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 bling.
I should know more.
Charging,
mid-2018.
Charging, charging, charging. Charging, charging, charging.
Right. Yeah.
Or that's, it's just that's Elon Musk.
His it's just Elon Musk awkwardly giving a keynote speech. I like the guy a lot. He cannot speak publicly. He's not very good. Anyway, I'm going to move us along to from the Vatican to Alabama.
Yeah?
Yes. We've all heard about the whole Roy Moore kerfuffle by now. Not a good thing for those who aren't in the know. You may remember Roy Moore's name because Frank and I have talked about Mr. Moore many times.
Repeatedly. Because he warrants discussion on this show.
Because he's a loon ball.
Yeah.
And Alabama keeps electing him to shit.
Yeah. Even after being removed from office.
Twice.
Yeah.
He was Chief Justice of the Supreme Court.
Yes.
And he broke the law and they removed him from office. And then they reelected him to Chief Justice again. He broke the law again. The first time was for his insistence of putting the Ten Commandments
right
in the courthouse. The second time was for his insistence that no one in Alabama apparently had to follow the law regarding gay marriage.
Right. And well, he is
both
the Chief Justice.
He was removed from the court by higher courts, by federal courts or whatever. And then now he's running for Senate in a special election.
Yeah.
And now
he might be removed from the race.
He might be. Well, he might be. We'll see. But
if
I mean,
he gets elected, he'll be removed from office again.
Maybe. I mean, he's been so he was accused by multiple women of just horrific things. A 14-year-old accused him of, or a woman who is now no longer 14, but was at the time 14, accused said he, as a 30-some-odd-year-old, touched her all kinds of inappropriately, kissed her, basically tried to be romantic with a child.
Yeah.
That's not remotely okay. Well, a new poll has come out in Alabama.
Oh?
They've polled Bammons to see how they feel now that the word is out on more.
Right.
Of evangelicals in Alabama, 37% surveyed said that these allegations made them more likely to vote for Roy Moore.
What?
37%.
Wow.
Of evangelicals.
That's fucked up.
That is...
More likely?
More likely.
Not just, well, I'm still voting for him because...
No. Now it's like... Now I gotta vote for him.
I like that 14-year-old touching.
Like,
what is it? I support...
This is
the fact that in their head, this is all a vast conspiracy to tear down...
Well, what's amazing
people
is...
People that they like and that they support.
What's amazing is that they say two things at the same time. They say, it's a conspiracy, she's lying... Mm-hmm. You know, that's what Falwell said. Falwell Jr., Jerry Falwell Jr., said, it comes down to a question of who is more credible in the eyes of the voters, the candidate or the accuser. The same thing happened to President Trump a few weeks before his election last year, except it was several women making allegations. He denied that any of them were true, and the American people believed him and elected him the 45th president of the United States.
I don't know. Did the American people really believe him?
I guess. I mean, it seems this is all very, very strange to me. But like at the same time that they're saying, I don't believe her, she's lying or whatever. And by the way, this was multiple women corroborated extensively by the Washington Post. The Washington Post like talked to dozens of people surrounding this whole thing. So it's true. It happened.
I mean, even like people who worked with him back in the day.
Yeah.
We're like, yeah, we knew he was up to this kind of stuff, that he dated young girls. We thought it was weird. I'm like, weird? Weird? No, it's flat out wrong.
He's a DA.
Yeah.
And he's committing crimes.
And yeah.
But apparently not. In Alabama, it's like a air quotes crime. Because then you've got people defending him saying...
It's tradition more than anything.
Well, you got the people who are defending him who are saying, well, Mary was a young teenager when Joseph married her and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Which, like, the whole point of their thing was that it wasn't even sexual, so, like...
Right. But God fucked Mary.
God... You know what? If fucking a teenager is good enough for God, then it should be good enough for Roy Moore.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just following God's footsteps. I mean, God did that.
But you
although
know,
they don't believe.
But
that.
My
That's
thing is,
Mormons.
You can't have it both ways. Either it's not true,
right,
and you don't have to address the right or wrongness of it,
right,
or it is true,
right,
and you have to sort of sort yourself through that. Either way, the fact that anyone's like defending this guy.
Right. No, I mean, even his own defense, things that he has said in his own defense lead me to believe that it's 100% true. He's when questioning sort of the legitimacy of these claims. He goes, well, why would these women come forward, or why have these women come forward 40 years later?
Right. Which means he's...
There was no question in his voice. It was like, it was the intention of the women, not the whether or not it actually happened.
Right.
Right.
I mean, here's the thing. Human beings, in general, suck.
Yeah.
We're just shitty. We're bad at humaning. And when we lock down on a tribe, when we say, this is our tribe, this is what we do, these are my people, and then one of them does something horrific, a lot of people are very loath to let go of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like everybody's just doubling down on the guy.
Right.
Because, you know, he fights for Christian values.
Who else we got?
It's like, you know, that is,
who else could we possibly send to the Senate to represent us?
How about anybody who doesn't molest children? Anybody. Even Mitt Romney, like, totally turned his back on this guy. Like, Mitt...
I believe that. Mitt is normally a pretty decent guy.
Mitt Romney tweeted, innocent until proven guilty is for criminal convictions, not elections.
Hmm.
I believe Lee Korfman, I think that's the accuser.
Okay.
Her account is too serious to ignore. Moore is unfit for office and should step aside.
Yeah.
That's Mittens J. Romney III. He's a dyed-in-the-wool Republican. But at least he's reasonable.
He's reasonable.
He's not one of these evangelical crazies.
Right.
The evangelicals are nuts.
Well, he'd probably be crazy about his more sort of mainstream Republicanism. Like,
he's got his own brand. He's got his own brand of crazy.
Death. Right. But like,
but it's not.
And he doesn't like these guys. And let's also make that
that's really clear.
Mitt doesn't like this right extremist side of the Republican Party. Yeah. He's an establishment Republican.
They are off the cliff.
He's a different brand than these lunatics.
It's madness in Alabama.
Yeah.
Listener, are you in Alabama? Get out.
We know some of you are.
Get out while you can.
Well, that's often not an option.
We might just have to fence you off. Like, our only option may be that we have to... That's where we're putting up the fence, is Alabama.
Well, if they elect Roy Moore.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
He's currently not ahead in the polls, so that's good. But
the overall polls.
Only
yeah.
by a little bit.
Yeah.
That's scary.
That's really interesting. All right, Dan. Tennessee. Jefferson City, Tennessee, home of the First Baptist Church of Jefferson City,
yeah,
has hired a woman as its lead pastor.
Okay.
This is a they're part of the Southern Baptist sort of brand of
Baptism. Really kind of doesn't do the woman pastor thing.
They do not. In fact, officially, only men can pastor a congregation.
Oh, and that's like in the rule books.
This is in the rule books.
Oh, wow.
There's the Tennessee Baptist Convention, of which the First Baptist Church of Jefferson City is a part. And they are sort of, they subscribe to the whole Southern Baptist thingy-majiggy. Not sure entirely how all of this works.
Right.
However, now that they have appointed or hired, rather, Reverend Ellen D. Giozia as its senior pastor, they are going to lose their voting rights in the Tennessee Baptist Convention.
Oh my God.
The Tennessee Baptist Convention is not happy with them. They state clearly that while they uphold the rights of the local churches to govern their denomination, their congregation as they wish, there are certain things that they really just cannot allow. And this is one of them.
Well,
they cannot associate. They don't even know the poor folks at the Jefferson City, or the First Baptist Church of Jefferson City, don't even know if they're going to have a seat at the table at the next convention.
I mean,
and they're all very sad because they just really liked this pastor and they hired her.
But that's
they
so
had to
weird.
Know that there would be consequences.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, they're in a denomination where nobody does this. And then they're like, we're just going to do this thing.
Right.
What did they think would happen?
I don't know. I think they thought.
And
that
why
maybe...
are they doing it? Like, it doesn't. Like, what's special about Jefferson City, Tennessee? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I had to look up Jefferson City. It's not. It's part of like some other metropolitan area that I've never even really heard of. Like something. I don't. The name didn't even stick. It's not like it's part of like, you know, the Nashville metropolitan area or something, and there's some little liberal enclave with their Southern Baptist church, right?
Right.
Like, this is, it's a, Jefferson City apparently is a town of about 8,000 people.
Huh. Well, how do you like that?
I know.
That's like, that's nutty that they would just, that they're just like, yeah, we want a lady pastor now. Here's what's, here, I believe that they are forgetting 1 Corinthians, however.
What is 1 Corinthians?
St. Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, in which he said in chapter 14, verse 34, that women should remain silent in the churches.
Oh, yeah.
They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission as the law says.
I think pretty much all Baptists have forgotten that one.
Not just these. I think.
Because women can get up and...
And holler.
They can talk.
Hoot and holler.
Right. I just can't pastor.
I'll bet you that there
can't be the lead pastor.
I'll bet you there are plenty of churches in the South where women where it's considered untoward for a woman to
shut up, woman.
Damn it, woman! I'm not even gonna bring you to church. You keep doing that,
talking.
Go back home. And make me a dinner.
Thinking you have a voice.
Thinking you have something to say. There's a man talking now. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But well, I'd say kudos to them. They did something risky.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's kind of amazing. Like, Who the fuck are these people out of the woodwork? I like it. I want to go visit. I want
to
go there.
You probably wouldn't like much of anything they have to say.
That's true.
My guess is.
And they would not like me. But you know what? Maybe they would.
Who
if
knows?
This is what they're doing, if that's what they're up to, they're hiring women to be their pastor, going against everything their whole denomination says.
Like the one thing that would get them kicked out.
Yeah.
Apparently.
What's next? They're going to like be okay with their gay kids?
No.
No.
No,
that does seem silly.
She's the biggest homophobe in the world.
I'm sure she is. Maybe that's what got her hired. She's like, look.
Most vitriolic, hateful woman.
I heard your current pastor say something nice about gay people. I want them stoned to death, so you might want me.
Yeah. They're like, hired.
Sold. Let's do this. Hey, have you heard of the United States House of Representatives?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Did you know that one of them has actually admitted to being a humanist?
Finally,
House Representative out of California, Jared Huffman, has actually come out, and now he's been in for a while.
Yeah,
and these different organizations send out questionnaires to all of the the reps that are
really
just
important.
Like, let us know who you are. Tell us your view on this and your view on that and blah, blah, blah.
Should we support you or not?
And one of them is always, you know, what's your religious persuasion? to which he has always declined an answer.
Oh.
He's either said, you know, it's none of your business, or it's not, you know, I don't talk about that, or, you know, other or whatever. Unspecified or declined to state or whatever. Apparently, he is now coming out as a humanist, which is like, you know, that's saying atheist without actually using the big scary word.
Yeah.
Big scary A word. Which is so funny. He literally said that he didn't want to say atheist because... And this hurts, actually. Let me find the quote. He said, atheist offers a level of certainty he doesn't feel, and perhaps arrogance.
Ah!
People, this is not what atheist means. Atheist does not mean certainty. It just means you don't have a belief in a God.
Right.
Okay. That's all right.
But you can be certain.
You can be...
That you have that... You don't have a belief.
You can be certain that you don't have a belief. And you can be
And you can be arrogant about that certainty.
Plenty of atheists are very arrogant about their atheism. That's not a wise position to take in my view, but you know, plenty of people are. But it's not inherent to the word. Anyway, it's a scary word, and it's certainly not a word that plays with voters well.
Right.
So I understand him not using it. But yeah, he's come out as a humanist, and that's cool.
Yeah.
He says, I'm not hostile to religion, and I'm not judging other people's religious views. Of course, he had to say that. This is the guy back in 2014. I don't know if you'll recall this, but Colbert had him on his show. It was like a meet a congressperson sort of segment.
Uh-huh.
And Colbert actually asked him. So he said, unspecified? Come on, grow a pair. What is it? Are you atheist? And he said, I don't know. Agnostic, then? Perhaps.
Ah.
And then Colbert just looked down at his little pad, and he said, I'll just put you down for heathen slash hellbound.
Fantastic.
There you go. We got us a heathen slash hellbound one guy. And he was, and the thing is that he's talking about how he thinks that there should be some separation between the state.
No.
And the church.
No. No.
Yeah.
No.
He says
he's not long for this.
I think there's too much religion in politics. For those reasons, I feel good about not answering these questions. He's very clear that he doesn't like how religion is used in politics.
Right.
And that's good. Also, his constituency is like San Francisco
and
north of there. I think he's okay.
Whatever.
I think he'll be safe.
Maybe. The question really is, do you like wine?
Right.
You better answer yes.
You better answer yes. Yeah, that's the religion of that area.
All right, Dan, have you ever heard of the Costume Institute?
No. No. No, I have not.
At the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Oh.
They do exhibits featuring fashion.
Oh, okay. Sure. Right?
There's currently... there's the recently opened, or fairly recently opened, Anna Wintour Costume Center.
Oh.
And they do...
Where everyone dresses up as Anna Wintour?
Indeed.
Costume is a weird word. When it's people's actual clothing,
yeah,
it's weird to call it a costume.
Indeed. However...
Although your costume looks very nice today.
Oh, thank you. And back right back at you, Dan.
You can go to our YouTube channel. We're very handsome.
Yeah, indeed. So, there is a new... The 2018 fashion exhibition...
Sure.
...will be entitled Heavenly Bodies.
Oh, my.
Fashion and the Catholic Imagination.
Oh, dear.
And so what they're doing is they're finding pieces of high fashion, examples that have been used religious art.
Like Benedict's Gucci shoes or whatever?
No. So actually like high fashion dresses and sort of, you know, well, actually the pictures are mostly dresses.
Yeah.
This one is kind of a cloak, right? And they're based off of paintings or other religious relics or stained glass windows or whatever. So the designer found their inspiration in Catholicism.
They're looking
for
at
these pieces of like haute couture.
They're looking at like the huge ornate gown worn by Pope Pius IV.
Exactly.
And
right?
Going, oh, I could repurpose that for this, and I could just.
And so, like, this one example is an El Greco.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's a portrait of Cardinal Ferdinando Nino de Guevara from about the 1600s. And he's seated in one of those throny things.
Uh-huh.
And he's just got, you know, very sort of what you would expect. Very robey, satiny robes.
Sure. As you do.
On. And next to it, they have a picture of an evening coat, a Cristobal
Balenciaga
evening coat from the 1950s. right?
Yeah.
And so, but what they're doing is they're putting these side by side, and they also have a lot of pieces on loan from the Vatican, which are more sort of where you were going, right? Where they actually do have the papal vestitures and whatnot, and things that cardinals have worn and whatnot as examples of, but they're with those pieces, because they're actually in sort of active religious use, they're right. keeping those kind of separate in its own areas to not draw too many similarities.
there's with high fashion and then there's high holy fashion.
Oh yeah, indeed.
It does make one wonder when the highest reaches of the fashion world are going to finally start being inspired by those hats.
Right.
Those very tall, like, you know, I want to see women in very tall mitered hats.
Who knows?
Beautiful things, yeah.
Who knows? It might be possible. But I mean, Versace, Dolce & Gabbana, obviously probably a lot of the Italians in general, fashion designers. I mean, these folks grew up with, this is the imagery around them.
If you go to anywhere in Italy, what are you going to see? You're going to see paintings of Catholic popes.
Right.
And like, these were the wealthiest men in the world.
Right.
They had the finest of all the everythings.
Yes.
So yeah, that's where you're going to see all the amazing textiles and all the amazing things.
This exhibit is being, people feel that it is quite risky for some odd reason. I'm not quite sure.
Risky?
There could be, well, that it could draw some real criticism from religious types.
All right.
And, you know, people are sensitive to that.
Well,
for whatever
reason. I'll tell you who should be mad about it.
Right.
All of the Orthodox Christians. Like, where's our shit? where are the Jewish inspired?
Right.
Outfits.
When are designers going to look to Mormonism for high fashion?
When are they going to, when does Balenciaga come out with the t-shirt under tank top look? That's what I want to know. Expand your horizons, Cristobal. Come on.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to take us. So you're aware, I assume, of the Leah Remini Scientology and the Aftermath TV show that happened.
No.
No? This is a TV show that Leah Remini, actress Leah Remini, who was on The King of Queens.
Yes, yeah, okay.
Yeah. She did a sort of an expose about her former religion, Scientology.
Oh, okay.
And how, and like did a big series.
Wow.
About it, and about how it has negatively affected her and other people, how they you know, if you leave, they harass and blah, blah, blah. I haven't seen the show. I want to see the show.
Okay.
But, you know, we've both read plenty on Scientology, and we've seen documentaries about it, that sort of thing.
Right.
So apparently, Ms. Remini has been in contact with a Trump family friend and a top official of the Department of Housing and Urban Development, who is Lynn Patton, who has been apparently, like, direct messaging on Twitter with Leah Remini, and has assured her that Trump is interested in removing Scientology's tax-exempt status.
Interesting. Okay.
Ms. Patton said in a tweet, in a private tweet, I guess, from the moment I saw your series, I told President Trump and his family we needed to revoke their tax-exempt status. They couldn't agree more, but please don't publicize that yet.
But she tweeted it.
No, I think somehow, Huffington Post got their hands on this.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Apparently she said, I look forward to doing my part to... Oh, wait. No, is this Remini? No, this is Patton saying, I look forward to doing my part to help put an end to this ongoing nightmare and blatant misuse of our IRS rules and regulations. I want to do more research on Scientology's history with the IRS to date so that I can better understand what tactics have been applied and where we can pick up. Now, it is true that the Scientology literally bullied the IRS
right.
into giving them tax exempt status.
Right.
The IRS was not going to do it.
Right.
And then, Scientology basically as an organization encouraged all of their members to file a lawsuit all at the same time.
Right.
And it would have cost billions of dollars for the IRS to process all of these lawsuits.
Right.
So instead they just said, oh, fine, you get to have it, which is amazing that our U.S. government is that easily just bullied. That's just bullying. That's not anything. There's nothing legitimate about that. My personal belief is either they're a religion or they're not, and they look like one to me. So I feel like they should be treated like the other religions, personally. I feel like all of the religions should be under a lot more scrutiny than they are. But I don't, and they commit crimes, so maybe they need to, be taken down, not by the IRS. How about by the FBI?
Right.
How about for the actual crimes that they commit? But fuck all that. It is what's really interesting about this to me is that the White House can't do that. They can't put pressure on the IRS to look into a specific organization and determine this thing. Apparently, according to Larry Noble, who's a former general counsel for the Federal Election Commission,
mm-hmm.
That the HuffPo talked to about this, he said, quote, "For the White House or any administration official to try and influence who the IRS targets for whatever reason is wrong and could result in a violation of the law."
Oh, then let's have them do it.
Right? Go for it, Trumpy boy.
Shh.
Don't let some
Stop
egghead.
Him.
Don't let some egghead lawyer tell you what you can do.
Right.
You get out there and you do it, partner.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a win-win. I would love for Scientology to lose their tax-exempt right. status, and I would love for Trump to break the law yet again and maybe expose himself to impeachment.
I mean, the religious... How hypocritical would the religious right be if he did start going after Scientology?
Oh, my God.
Because at the end of the day, they should be concerned about any religious organization losing its status. They should have that concern.
The religious right should, yeah, because but there's that gentleman's agreement between all the religions
right.
that it's just like, we will all wink at each other. I don't care how kooky you are.
Right.
I need religion to keep its privileged place in society.
Right. But the other part of it is they should be absolutely fucking outraged that Scientology acts in the name of religion.
Right. All of it is, well, is Scientology as an organization does a lot more like really sinister shit than most religions.
Yeah.
But like there's plenty of Christian religions where all the sinister shit in the world is happening.
Right.
So it's like, is it really any worse?
Right. That's,
is it really
that's
any
why
different?
They would probably just end up being a bunch of fucking,
yeah,
hypocrites on the whole thing.
Yeah. They all, I mean,
that's kind of what they do.
I mean, the Catholic Church should probably lose. Like, they should all be, when you protect pedophiles,
yeah.
Nope, you should lose it. You should lose your tax exempt status when
you should almost have to, there should be an annual renewal. There should be, or like a 5-year review process.
Yeah.
You don't just get to fucking keep it.
You're right.
You should be working toward the common good. That's why we give it to you.
You're right.
Right?
Yeah.
Granted, we probably shouldn't give it to them at all. But if you're going to, hold their feet to the fire.
Yeah,
make them actually be good organizations.
Right.
Rather than just doling it out.
No, that's not
going to
happen.
But they just get it.
All right. Well, if you guys have anything that you'd like to say on the matter, you can write to us, podcast@thankgodimatheist.com.
Or you can call and leave us a voicemail message. The telephone number is 424-666-8442.
Indeed. Go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/TGIAtheist, and click the like button.
And while on Facebook, search for the TGIA Members Only Lounge. Request to join. It is a closed group, but we'll let you in.
We will indeed. Hi guys, Dan here. I just wanted to talk to you quickly about our still sponsor, Harrys.com. This is a shaving website. This is for all of you fellas that like to get all the hair off of your face. The best way to do that is with a razor, and Harrys.com has you covered. Listen, if you go to Harrys.com/TGIA, then that helps us out. You go to Harrys.com/TGIA, and they'll set you up with a free trial. Literally free. All you have to cover is the shipping, and you get the razor handle, which is actually really nice. It's like ergonomic and everything. You get the five blade cartridge, which five blades will give you a super smooth shave. You get the lathering gel, and I'm going to tell you, this is my own personal experience with this lathering gel. It's actually super nice. It smells great. It's smooth. It gives you this really nice smooth shave. And right now, they have special edition holiday gift sets. So you can go on to Harrys.com/TGIA. If you don't do the /TGIA, then we don't get any credit for it, and that would be sad. But do it with Harrys.com/TGIA, and then you ladies can get a gift for your fella that shaves. It's good for everybody. They're high-quality blades. You know, they bought their own German factory with over 100 years of blade-making experience. The guys know what they're doing. Give them a try. If you don't like it, that's fine. But, you know, you might as well try it for free and see if you like it. You get all of those things for free. So give them a try. Harrys.com/TGIA. And everybody will be happy. Thanks.
Dan!
Yeah!
Been 6 years.
Holy cow, you guys.
Six years.
I'm looking directly into camera because I'm trying to trying to invite our listeners / viewers into this moment with us. We've been doing this in podcasting years. That's quite a long time, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. There's a lot of podcasts come and go.
And a lot of
there are plenty that have real staying power.
There were around before we
tenacious.
Yeah, sure.
The hosts are tenacious.
Yeah,
we've shown a little tenacity.
I think we have. I think so.
Somehow. I don't
know how we did it, considering who we are. But we seem to have done it.
We're still here.
We seem to have shown that bit of tenacity. Yeah. I'm pulling up right now. I'm pulling up our back catalog. I'm just looking at it.
It's not even all there. There's so much that
so much.
iTunes won't even host all of it.
They're rude.
Which is weird to me.
They're rude that way.
We'd have to actually pull up off of the TGIA archive drive.
Yeah.
The original episodes.
Yeah, which we've got somewhere.
Well, I know right where it is. Well, my house.
Yeah. But yeah, we're...
no big mystery.
Yeah, exactly. Over 300 episodes. Well over 300. We're just clicking away.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
Should we go back in the Wayback Machine and remember some early times? I remember our first show.
Yeah.
There we were. We were at your former place of business, which was a media school.
Right.
Because you and I didn't own any of the equipment.
No.
At that point.
To be honest, I didn't want to spend a dime on it because...
Me neither. We were like, how do we do this?
Is this going to work? Are we actually... Okay, we say we're going to do it every week, but are we really going to do it every week?
I don't think either of us trusted that this thing would work at all.
And I think you showed up to work... It was probably like a Thursday. It was a Tuesday or a Thursday because I was working late.
Mm-hmm.
And we
found a room.
Well, we went into the recording studio.
Oh, that's right.
We set up in the recording studio. I believe I probably started like a Pro Tools session.
Uh-huh.
Right. Like way overkill.
Right.
And then we kind of settled in and scaled down and did the right thing later on. But yeah, like we had the... We were using fancy mics.
Fancier mics. Like, we had much higher-end equipment the first episode we recorded than we have now.
Right, but we also discovered that we didn't need that stuff.
Right. What we discovered is we can get the sound that we want.
Right.
From less.
Right. The quality of our voices will shine through.
We're not singing here. We're not. This is, yeah.
We're not recording an instrument.
Right.
You know, because a lot of that stuff. Well, I mean, we were using vocal mics, but again, very different setting.
Yeah.
Like, we were in a controlled space that was acoustically pretty decent.
Yeah.
Not a lot of background noise getting in there.
So. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Really nice closed off.
Yeah.
Thing.
It was good. It was a good time. And we did that for probably, what, 4 or 5 months?
Yeah, a while.
It was, we got kicked out fairly,
we did get
fairly
kicked
early
out.
On.
And then decided.
And my boss was actually kind enough to pull a couple mics out of his own personal collection. He felt bad.
Right.
I know he wasn't the one who kicked us out.
Right.
And because he felt bad about the whole thing. And he lent us some gear. And there was probably somewhere around there that we bought our first recorder.
Yeah.
Actually, it's still the same recorder.
Actually, still. Yeah. Well, we were recording directly.
No. We recorded into our laptops.
We were recording into laptops for the longest
right.
time.
That's right. That's this, right.
Man. We did. And then there was the time that I ran away to London for 6 weeks.
And we had to figure that one out.
We did. So we had to record over transatlantically.
Yeah.
I went and... I was so pleased. I scored that interview with the Bishop of London.
Yeah,
that's
probably when we bought the recorder, the Tascam.
Is it?
Because you recorded clean audio over there.
Yeah, I was recording into my laptop. I think.
Then how were you getting?
I don't know. I don't know how we did this shit.
Yeah.
Oh my God! I was up at like 2 in the morning in London.
Right.
Like, sort of tucking myself away from, like, I'm in a flat that has all of these other students because I was there sort of on a study abroad, even though I'm old. so, like, I'd have to find a place in the flat. It's basically a dorm scenario. There's, you know, 7 bedrooms full of kids, college kids there.
Right.
And I have to tuck myself away at 2 in the morning and record with you over Skype.
Right.
Oh, those were the days, weren't they?
Yeah.
and then we did our road trip through the South.
Road trip through the South. That was a good one. That was a
couple years in.
It wasn't. Yeah, it might have been about 2 years in. 18 months, 2 years. We did it really soon on.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have a ton of listeners.
No,
when we did it.
I mean,
we had a good handful.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Not that we have millions now.
No,
but
no.
Like. We have a decent audience now.
Yeah, well, we have the best audience, but there's definitely more than there used to be, and we the road trip to the South. Here's the memory I'm going to tell our listeners about. You and I decided that we would record while we were on the road. We decided we would do videos the whole time. So we did a bunch of videos. Those who have been to our YouTube channel can go back and revisit those videos that we made.
A couple of them were pretty fun.
They're silly, but fun. And then we decided to record a show. But what you and I decided to do, because we had a schedule, was when we got into my minivan, which I had inherited from my dad. So we're driving... The gold Honda Odyssey.
Right, but that was not the plan, Dan. We got kicked out of the hotel. The checkout time at the hotel was way earlier than we expected it to be.
That's right. We were going to record at like 10 in the morning.
Right.
And they were like, no, checkout time is 10.
Or like 10:30 or something. It was a super early checkout time. Right. And we were like, well, what the hell are we going to do? Because like... We're not going to a hotel tonight. We were going to my parents' house.
Oh, right. Okay, you guys, here's our solution. This is true. We get into the van, we set up mic stands in the van so that there is a mic pointed at my face and a mic pointed at Frank's face. I'm driving and
this is all very dangerous.
This is probably highly illegal and really stupid. And we record as we're driving.
Right.
And I need to go back and re-listen to that episode.
You can, if anybody does go back and listen to it, you can hear the background of the van.
And right. If you're watching on YouTube, what was happening to me constantly was my mic was just going away, and I just have to pull it. Like, if I press the brakes, the mic would just...
Right.
The mic just kept swinging away from me, and I just have to pull it back to my mouth and whatever.
Well,
as
and
we're driving.
You also had some ADHD stuff going on as well, if I remember correctly. You had some squirrel moments during the show.
I was driving a vehicle at the time.
But it was more like, oh, look at that horse.
Well, we did. I mean,
oh, look at that church. Look at that car.
I was incorporating our environment. I mean, if you're driving, if you're going to be driving and a roadrunner runs across the road, you're going to talk about that because that's fun.
Sure. Okay.
That was nutty. We met some amazing people on that trip.
That was actually probably one of the seal the deal moments.
It was
me,
great.
As far as because we met so many people that that's when I really had a sense of audience and the sense of the community that was starting to form around the show.
Yeah.
And just the good people who were out there who we were connecting with. And that helped me through probably some of the later moments of like just having this show be a responsibility and just being like, I have to continue to fit this into my life.
Yeah.
And making sure that it stayed enough of a priority. That I kept coming back to it every week.
Because there have been career changes and there have been like changes in life changes that have happened. Lots of life changes that have happened for us
during this
show.
Right.
And this has been the one constant.
Oh, it really has.
This show has been the job that I've kept for longer than any other job in my life.
Like for me, that would be true, too.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Wow.
Otherwise... Let me think.
I mean,
my current job is a close second.
Yeah, yeah.
But
wow, that's saying something.
It is. Yeah.
Maybe something not great about our personalities. I'm not sure about that.
Oh, people change jobs. Damn.
People do change jobs. It's true. I say that I've been acting professionally for
how do you
15 years or so? But like that's a job here and a job there and a job here. So like one job does not last that entire
exactly
time,
unless you're on like a sitcom,
right? Which I'm not.
No?
Hollywood, get your act together. Hire me for a sitcom. Anyway, I think it's been quite a ride, and I think you're right. The meeting of people, and we've had several meetups since.
Yeah,
you guys that we have met are amazing, and one can only assume that those of you that we haven't met that are listening
are amazing as well.
Are also would also fall into that category. We need to have more meetups.
We do. Well, we always say that, and we do it from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
We have very different schedules.
Yes,
you and I.
Yes,
and it is
true.
Hard to sometimes get those schedules to line up.
And also, we do live in a specific part of the world's geography. We just live here.
We do, and it's an isolated place.
Yeah.
You know, there aren't... I mean, Salt Lake is 6 hours away from the nearest big city.
It is. It's
other...
True. Other big city.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. There must be ways. We'll need to sort that out. Hopefully, I mean, we're not... showing any signs of slowing down here, people.
Right.
So hopefully we will get out to more places. We've been to we've been to Texas together.
Mm-hmm. Since Louisiana.
Even after the road trip, we went to Texas for the podcast convention and met some people out there. We've been
when else did we go to Texas?
We went to Wisconsin together and met up with some amazing people out there.
That's true.
I'd like to go to more places.
Wisconsin.
You know, I'm going to just throw this out. We say this every now and then, but if any of you out there are members of, are part of a local atheist / agnostic group or, a skeptic group or whatever, or you're part of a convention, write to us.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can work something out. We would love to meet. We just, connecting with you guys has been the most rewarding part of this whole gig.
Yep.
If we've met you, I want to invite you to write to us and tell us how things are going.
Yeah.
Remind us where we met you and let us know how,
an update would be really nice.
Because we want to hear.
Because, some of these people have been occasionally on my mind.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
I don't remember names, sadly.
I don't remember all the names. I remember a few of the names. A
few of the names.
But yeah, I mean, it's, and I actually became Facebook friends with a couple people, but
sure,
not a lot.
Right.
And I would just like to know more about every, you know, how people are doing that we've met, and I'd like to meet more people.
Right.
That's what a wonderful conclusion. It's you guys. It's that's what this is. This is for you. Yeah. I do want to mention that the thing that will make us getting out more possible is you know, we don't push the Patreon thing too hard.
No.
Some people might think we do, but we don't. And we don't make a lot of money off of, we do run ads. We don't make a lot of money off of them.
Next to nothing. The ads are,
they're a little bit of revenue.
They're a little bit of revenue.
But it's not much.
Right.
So if you guys want to help with this mission and get a, you know, if we're to continue for
six more years,
it would be great if you could become part of the TGIA family by going to thankgodimatheist.com, clicking on the Patreon button, and that'll take you there. And then literally it's just like you choose how much you want to give us per episode. You know, $1 per episode is an amazing thing, you know, and you can afford probably $4 a month. Most folks can.
Right.
If you can't, totally fine. Just go. But, you know, then you can just go to, you know, iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're listening and rate us. Give us a rating. You know,
absolutely.
A little 5-star review is always appreciated. That helps us a lot, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, our next Patreon goal is to get out to you people.
Yeah.
So maybe help us reach that. We are definitely like way below other sort of comparable shows in terms of how much we take in.
Yeah.
Because we're not trying too hard to do the Patreon thing. We're not. But it would be great.
Right.
More than anything, I would just like for us to be able to do it, to be able to get out to see other people. So if you want to be a part of that, that's how you do it.
Well,
what do you think, Frank?
I think
it's been a good 6 years. I think that this has been
so.
It feels it's meaningful to me.
It's meaningful to me. I wouldn't keep doing it
if it weren't. Yeah,
yeah. You know,
we wouldn't have. Yeah, it's an important thing. So thank you so much, listeners, for joining us on this journey.
Yeah,
it's been a great ride.
Absolutely.
If you do want to write in to us and let us know how you feel about it, about our show, and if it's meant anything to you, that would be amazing. You can do so by writing to podcast@thankgodimatheist.com.
Or you can call and leave us a voicemail message. The telephone number is 424-666-8442.
Yeah, we'd love that when you do that. Go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/TGIAtheist, and click the like button. That's another great way to sort of keep in touch with us and get the word out for us and stuff.
And while you're there, you might as well search for the TGIA Members Only Lounge. Request to join. It's a closed group, so we have to let you in, but that's what makes it kind of great.
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking of like community,
yeah,
it's a great, it is, that is a community.
Right.
It's great. So definitely do that. Hey, speaking of Facebook, thanks to Mackenzie for her work on our Facebook page, and thanks to Sarah, Amy, and Danny for their moderation of the Members Only Lounge.
And thanks to the Red Rock Hot Club for 6 years of music.
Yeah.
And thanks to Gordon Johnston for about two or three years of music.
Yes, indeed.
I don't know how long we've used his music.
Oh, and we should thank our Lord and Savior.
Oh, yes,
Angela.
Of course. Yeah.
Just,
she's still around.
Throw that in there. And thank you, friends, for being part of this. We actually really do appreciate it.
Bye.